Hello, listeners. This is Cecil Smith. Yes, I'm still around and speaking to you now from the front at Brighton, where we're about to see the annual parade of bathing bells. The girls are ready now, and here they come. And as the bathing bells line up, let me describe them for you. Number one is Daphne, in a new three-piece bikini. The usual two items, and Daphne is the piece inside. Now, here comes Trudy, and she's wearing a smart nylon costume in fresh pink. It has a matching jacket. And one can't help admiring the... Oh, bother, it's coming on to rain suddenly. What a shame. Oh, my goodness, it's fairly pouring down in buckets. And, oh, just look at our models, poor things. They're getting soaking wet.
That was an excerpt from The Bells Are Ringing. And now that in our series, A Film Worth Remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those who'd like to cool their heels for a while, why not stick them in the fridge? Then I'm afraid we'll give you some idea of what to expect from a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Sir Justin Time, Bubbles Leroy and her set afternoon striptease, the Moscow Young Conservatives, Gymnasium, Miss Catherine Keyhole.
Anyone can see through her.
To continue, Sir Francis and Charlie Drake, the Grand Vizier of Godalming, and, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. And first, I have a special word for all French waiters. Garçon. Now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I ran into an old friend of mine who was looking very glum. He's in the tent-making business, and his wife had just run away with a pole. On Tuesday morning, Milan phoned to see whether I'd be interested in a transfer. Well, naturally, I said yes, so they sent me one. In the afternoon, I was hoping to see Jakes Brown, but the grill wasn't working, so I couldn't. On Wednesday, I went to a protest meeting of the Trafalgar Square Residents Association. They were complaining about all the people who kept sitting down there. Their opinion was absolutely unanimous. They said... On Thursday, I went to have tea with my Aunt Sexy, who lives in Middlepath. No, I'm sorry. I mean my Aunt Fanny, who lives in Middlesex. Anyhow, she's a very singular little woman, my aunt. So singular, in fact, she's not so much an aunt as an isn't. But she's extremely generous for all that, and she gave me a record token. At least it had to Ken on it, so I suppose it must have been a token. So, on Friday, I popped round to my local record and music shop. Ah, here we are, the hole in the middle. I'll go in. Say that that's an unusual doorbell.
Yes, you think so, sir. Like to buy the sheet music.
No, thanks. No, I'm looking for a record.
Oh, yes. Well, I won't keep you a moment. I'm just serving this gentleman. You will, sir. Do you like the record?
Oh, I dig it like crazy, chick. Man, it really goes swinging, like I mean a ring-a-ding-a-dinging.
Oh, good. Then you'll take the Rachmaninoff prelude. good.
You like the classics, sir?
Yeah, man, I really dig them. Bach, Beethoven, Wagner, and all that jazz, yeah.
There you are, fur. And your change.
Oh, swinging. So long, chica. Bye, daddy-o.
Well, goodbye, vicar.
Now, sir.
Well, now, I have a token, and I'm not certain what to get with it.
Pop?
I beg your pardon?
A popular music, sir. What about the latest Conway Twitt record? Broken-hearted beatnik.
No, I don't think that's terribly me.
But how about jazz? We're having a jazz week this week. Posters everywhere. Have an acapulco day.
No, I don't think so, no. Look, I'll tell you what. I like madrigals.
Don't we all? I'm afraid you're going to be difficult to please.
Oh, no, I'm not. Look, I've just seen the very thing.
Oh, what is it?
I Like the Likes of You, sung by Jill Day.
I can write sincerely of the things that I love dearly, like the way you smile, the way you talk, the way you laugh, the way you walk. Darling, I'd be so much better if I just wrote you a letter. I'd explain how much you mean to me, instead of just mumbling, muttering, stammering, stuttering. Idiotically, I like the likes of you. I like the things you do. Oh, yes, I like the likes of you. I like your eyes of blue. I think they're blue, don't you? I mean, I like your eyes of blue. Oh dear, if I could only say what I mean if I could mean what I say, that is, I mean to say that I mean to say that I like the likes of you. Your looks are pure to look. Looks like I like the likes of you. If I could only say what I mean if I could mean what I say, that is, I mean to say that I mean to say that I like the likes of you. Your looks are pure to look. Looks like I like the likes of. Oh yes, I like the likes of. Looks like I like the likes of you.
Jolly nice. I'll take that one, please.
You know, sir, it's amazing how fashions in music have changed over the years.
Well, it is indeed. You know, sometimes I wish I'd been around in old Vienna. Everything was done in waltz time. Well, nearly everything.
Yes, indeed, indeed. The music of Strauss.
And that other great musical family, the Strusses.
I never heard of them.
Oh, you should. It's a fascinating story.
Oh.
We present Johann, the Knight, and the Music. Or there's waltz to follow.
It is Vienna, 1845. Vienna, a city of gaiety and enchantment. Vienna, where laughter and music vied with the popping of champagne corks. Vienna, a happy city in which every peasant had a steak. Oh, those Vienna steaks.
And it was here that an old man with a violin became famous. His name, Vic Oliver.
Our story concerns a father and son whose life was music, music, music. A few mad birds here and there, but mostly music.
I am Johann Strauss III, not to be confused with Johann Sebastian Bach, three other composers. As a young man, I played my violin around the beer houses.
In fact, he was the John Jezzard of Vienna.
And I am the young man whose name will always be associated with waltzing.
I think it must be Matilda.
No, I am Johann Strauss II, the son of my musical father. Oh, how I love my papa.
I am Otto, a friend of the family. Otto Metelninka Pushkinkraut. Educated in England, thank goodness. Otherwise, I'd been out of the sketch altogether.
I am Anna, the composer's favorite piece. When I first met Johann, he was working in a beer garden. He looked so handsome, leaning on his broom, and he completely swept me off my feet. And then, whipping out his violin, he serenaded me in true Viennese fashion. But in spite of that, I liked him.
I am the beloved Emperor Franz Joseph, born 1804, died 1892. Portrayed by Bill Pertwee, born 1926, died on the Werther's Playtime last week.
The younger Johann had clearly inherited his father's musical genius, and often in the winter evenings, I would look in on the family at home.
Come in.
Ah,
Otto, my good friend.
Come in. Did I hear the sound of a piano just now?
Oh, yeah, Otto. It is the younger Johann on the Johanna.
Otto, come and see him.
Oh, I just can't get the next beat.
I despair of him, Otto. So much I wanted him to be a great conductor like me. You know something, Otto. When I first conduct an orchestra, I learn something most important.
What's that?
These Paul Fennerleys have it dead easy. Standing up there waving a stick. Son, give up this foolish notion of composing.
But, father, I'm succeeding. Did not the Emperor Franz Joseph commission me to write a song for his son? And did I not come up with a hit? My old man's an emperor. But soon I will finish my little composition. A voice to set the world dancing. Don't you understand? I sleep. I breathe. I eat the world. I know that great music inside me. Oh, if only...
Johann! Johann! You will never guess who is at the front door. Our beloved Emperor, Franz Joseph.
Well, come on, someone open the door. It's freezing out here.
Quickly, Anna.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to our humble home, Your Highness. May I take your sword?
That's an icicle.
Oh, please to sit down.
Thank you. No, my poor dogs are killing me. Now to the purpose of my visit. In a few days is coming my most elegant boy. Old Johann, you will conduct my orchestra, and young Johann, I am commissioning you to write me a new work.
Papa, do you hear that?
He's having a funny turn. You should be proud of him, Mr. and Mrs. Strauss. He is Vienna bred. And someday... someday he will be the toast of the world. Fred, I must be going.
Not
should think so after that.
Don't let me down, Johann. Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, what am I going to do? If only I could get this right.
What can come next?
Oh, come on, Otto. Let's leave the genius to it. Tell me, how's your musical tuition coming along? The saxophone, isn't it?
Yes, I brought it along with me.
I always think it's such a strange instrument. Such a long, thin thing with a squiggly bottom.
Yeah, you have...
Not you. Play me something.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not much good. In fact, I can only play two notes. Listen.
Otto, Otto, Otto. Titi, that's it. Play it again, after me.
Yes, I do believe you've got something there.
And so was born the famous Blue Danube Waltz. In their lifetime, Johann Strauss II and his friend Otto collaborated on another piece of music, dedicated to all their contemporary composers, when they gave to the world...
for old Vienna. And now the Fraser Hayes Four waltz into The Band Played On.
Casey would waltz with the strawberry blonde and the band played on. He'd glide across the floor with the girl he adored and the band played on. His brain was so loaded it nearly exploded. Poor girl would shake with alarm. He'd marry the girl with the strawberry curls, and the band played on.
Matt Casey formed a dancing club that beat the world for style, and hired for its meeting place a hall.
When Casey took the ballroom floor, the rest would fall in line.
He soon was dancing modern steps at every championship ball.
Here come the Casey couple now, dancing superbly. I understand the dress consists of 120 yards of pink tulle covered in hundreds of sequins. The whole effect is quite dazzling. Don't you agree, John?
Yes, yes, I do. And her dress is rather gorgeous too, isn't it?
Casey would swing with the strawberry blonde and the band played on. He'd swing across the floor with the chick he adored and the band played on. His brain was so loaded it nearly exploded. The poor girl would shake with alarm. He'd nearly the girl with the strawberry curls and the band played.
Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on clubs, associations, societies, organizations, institutions.
And all stations west. Now, first of all, let's ask this gentleman... Do you belong to anything, sir?
Oh, yes, I most certainly do. You see, sir, I feel strongly on certain matters in this 20th century.
I don't wish to make an impassioned speech, but almost every day we citizens are subjected to increasing irritations, and it's obvious that we must take steps to influence those responsible. We must protest in the severest possible terms until some satisfaction is achieved. That is why I personally wish to associate myself with the aims and objects of the organization to which I subscribe.
And what organization is that?
The Society for the Abatement of Unnecessary Noises.
Well, thank you. I'm sure this will bring forth a flood of new members. Now, you, sir, are you a member of anything?
I am, but I don't see that it's anything to do with you.
Oh, sorry.
You should be. Far too much of this interfering with the liberties of the individual. Surely a chap can belong to any organization without people like you poking their nose in and asking impertinent questions.
Well, no offense, Ben, I'm sure
I am. Well, what am I for own business?
Well, all right, I will, if you...
But if you must know, I belong to a friendly society.
Well, now, here's a lady. Madam, do you take part in any local activities?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, I do, yes. I'm a member of the town's Ladies' Guild.
And what sort of things do you do?
Well, it's mainly social, you know, yes. We ladies all like to get together in the afternoons over a nice tray of tea and have a jolly good chinwag, yes, all the afternoon.
And whereabouts do you do this?
Oh, well, at any theatre matinee.
Well, whatever the organization, whether it be large or small, it has a common purpose to unite those who share the same interests. Societies for pretty well everything exist, and one long-standing pursuit that has never lost popularity over the years is communication across the world by amateurs.
Hello, Rodney. Calling Arthur Rodney.
Hello, Charles. Arthur Rodney here. Well, how are you, you old radio ham?
Absolutely dolly rodders. Got an absolutely lovely cup of tea in front of me.
Oh, that's nice. I'm just putting on a cigarette.
I bet it suits you.
Oh, you are an old amateur wag. What's the weather like in your part of the world?
Oh, don't let's talk about the weather. I'm bursting for all your news.
Well, I've got a special message for you, but it's rather secret.
Right, Roddy, can send it in code.
Good idea, Charles. Stand by for message. The hot sausages are skipping through the lady's feathered hat.
They're not. Wait a minute, I'm just decoding it. The hotter... Ooh. Ooh. Honestly, Rollers, I can't believe it.
It's true.
Well, look, I'll send a coded reply next time we're in contact.
What was that?
I said I'll send a code...
It's no good, Charles. I can't hear you. Having trouble. I shall have to close down now.
Hello, Arthur Rodney. Arthur Rodney, what's the matter?
A string off the cocoa tin, sir.
Finally, we turn to our panel of experts in Horner Armor who are ready to discuss a random question on this week's topic. Top of the table, Dalcom Ditheridge.
Good evening.
Next to him, a breath of old mild and bitter, Seamus O'Toole.
How do you like me brogue? The other one's a Wellington boot.
And further down, we have our special guest for this week, famous culinary expert, Fanny Haddock.
Delighted to be here. Delighted. Johnny's doing the washing up.
And well downwind, our countryman friend, Arthur Fallowfield.
Carl, this morning a greater crested chit warbler hopped onto my windowsill.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, that's our panel. That's our panel. And so to this week's question on organizations, which comes from...
Fred Macmillan. I'd like to ask the team whether they feel that a worldwide brotherhood would be the answer to universal friendship.
Oh, thank you, Fred. Thank you. Now, two. Atul, will you start?
I'm always ready to start anything. Well, of course, this is a wonderful idea. I mean, one dirty great world club for all peoples to join. I can see a glorious merger taking place here. The easygoing democracy of Britain with a continental license in ours.
Very good, yes, thank you. Fanny Herrick.
Well, of course, it's a simply... Well, it is indeed a simply marvellous recipe. But you know, the best way to friendship is through the stomach. Yes, indeed. So why not an interchange of menus, eh? Most important. Let Britain's ambassador be food. Send out the steamed cod and parsley sauce. Give the world a taste of cottage pie. Think how proud they'd be of brown soup that actually came from Windsor.
Well, now, Ditheridge.
Well, as usual, you're all barking up the wrong creek. The idea of universal association is all very well theoretically, but it must have a basis. I mean, we must all share a common interest. What is it to be?
Bulls!
Really, O'Toole, I think it's high time you were exposed for the hypocritical humbug you are.
Hear, hear, I'm quite sure.
I have here a newspaper cutting in which you are quoted as saying, "Drink is the curse of mankind, an evil machination devised by Satan himself."
Oh,
yes, I have. Now, did you or did you not say that?
I did, yes. Mind you, I was drunk at the time.
Fallowfield, I can see that you're waiting to come in on this. Now, what's your opinion? What's your opinion of a worldwide brotherhood?
Well, I think the answer lies in the story. Now, what we need is a sort of universal village institute, you know? Come together in friendly competition, like, I mean, who makes the best pickles and who's got the biggest cucumber? That is the way to better understanding and friendship.
Oh, yes, I quite agree. I do. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, well, you shut your cake up. After all, I think we're all of us seeking some sort of affection in life. And I make no bones about it. I'm looking for someone to love.
Yes, Fallowfield. Well, I don't think we'll go into that.
Well, I've got an absolutely scrumptious recipe for curried prunes.
Yes, well, I don't think we'll go into that.
I've got an interesting theory about the Freudian aspects of the grasshopper.
Yes, well, I don't think we'll go into that.
I know a little pub round the corner.
Yes, I think we'll go into that. And that brings this week's discussion to a close. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be fruit stones. Are they out of date? Also in next week's program, we shall be bringing you excerpts from the new book, Cannibalism by Henrietta Mann. And there'll be a talk given by the Bacon Information Council on Was Shakespeare Danish? So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Vaughan saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought which comes from a young listener in West Bromwich. Is the only unpaid man in an orchestra the one who plays the trumpet voluntary?
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Vaughan, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Jill Day, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Miniman wrote the script, and the show is produced by Jakes Brown.